Welcome to A Well-Designed Business with your host, Luann Nigara. Luann has a lifetime of experience building a multi-million dollar business with her husband and cousin, and she knows the challenges you face in your interior design business. Luann brings you real-life answers to your most pressing problems, as well as practical strategies to explode your interior design business. So, let's get to the business of interior design.
Hi, welcome back to A Well-Designed Business. Are you thinking about going to High Point Market this October? If you've never been, or if you've gone and maybe you were a bit overwhelmed and felt like it wasn't productive for your business, then stay put for this show. Deb Barrett is with me today, and she is going to give you some insider advice on why it's important to consider this event and some actionable tips on how to maximize your time and investment at this event. Deb is an industry leader for more than 30 years. She is the principal of Window Dressings, and she has built a reputation for cutting-edge couture window treatments. She is the author of Tools of the Trade and Soft Furnishing Sketchbook, both of which are in their second editions. Her new book, What Makes a Great Window Treatment, features techniques, fabrication, and inspiration that can transform custom to couture. Deb is also a trend strategist. She travels the world to develop design intelligence and interior forecast. She consults, she speaks, she blogs, and she leads design tours around the world. As if all of this wasn't enough, her newest adventure with Jackie Von Tobel is Soft Design Lab. Soft Design Lab is an online think tank and a creative community dedicated to the specific needs of designers and manufacturers who work in the soft furnishing space. So stay put. I'll be right back with Deb Barrett after I tell you a little bit about Kravit Inc., our show sponsor. I'm so proud to tell you that our podcast is sponsored by Kravit Inc., featuring CuratedKravit.com. And I know you know this because I know I've told you dozens of times, but I really have been a Kravit customer since 1984. And the truth is, I can't say enough great things about Kravit Inc., except that now there's CuratedKravit.com. At CuratedKravit.com, they work hard to source high-quality items for you and your clients, and they really do make it easy to find that unique piece to complete your interior design projects. And you know what my favorite parts are? It's trade-only. That's right. They have your back at Kravit Inc. They have no minimums. Isn't that fabulous? And last, the ordering process is a snap. Design, click, delivered. It's just that simple. Visit CuratedKravit.com today. Hi, Deb. Thanks so much for joining me on A Well-Designed Business today.
Hi, Luann. Great, and thanks for having me.
Today, we are going to talk about going to market. So I wanted to speak to you about this topic because you're an expert at this. In addition to being, like I've said in the introduction already, your other credentials, a window treatment designer and different things like that. But you have developed this niche, which I love because we always talk about niching down on this show for more, you know, profits and for better business building. So you've niched into a specific area where you specialize in not only attending the different furniture and accessory markets, you know, high Point and others around the world, but now you also are specializing in bringing groups to these markets so that they can have the best experience at market that they possibly can, as opposed to walking in circles and wondering where to go. So today we're very lucky because we're, 2.5 months before High Point, and I think it's a great time for us to really talk to someone who has your knowledge and how to make the best of attending markets in general, but we're going to give a good amount of conversation to High Point because that is just coming up right now. So tell us first of all, Deb, you know, just basically, if a designer is out there and has never been to any market, let alone High Point, what would you say? You know, gotta go if you want to look, have a good time with your girlfriends for a glass of wine. Like, get us down to why you think people should attend High Point.
Well, first of all, we're always down to have a glass of wine with our girlfriends.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Market or no market, right?
I'm thinking, but, well, that's the good part right there. You had me at hello.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when it comes to High Point is basically the center of the design universe twice a year. So almost everyone in our industry in every product category is all in one place. So first and foremost, it offers, like other markets, an unparalleled opportunity for you. But I think that, you know, if we're saying what are the reasons we should go, first the depth and the breadth of the products. I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but you've got your flagship showrooms there that are showing their complete catalog. And so if you are, for example, looking at, you know, Global Views, for example, as an account, and you've got a catalog that's 3 inches thick, you're going to see everything in their showroom that's in that catalog. Secondly is, of course, the product launches. And right now we're sort of in this age of licensing. So there's a lot of celebrity designers. So you got some meet and greets happening there along with those cocktail parties. But more importantly, it's really getting to, I think, it's getting to see what the piece is really like, because I don't think that anything really beats seeing it in person. Especially in this digital age, you know, whether it's a finish or a color or a texture, you just kind of can't always successfully convey that digitally, not to mention the scale of it or the proportion. So there's something to be said about that sort of emotional connection you get when you see it in person, that, you know, oh, this piece is speaking to me, or this is going to work for that client. I don't get that when I see it in a page on pages or on my computer screen. I get it when I see it at market.
Now that's a great little sub point right there, because when I asked the question, I was thinking broad, and when you just answered some of it, the first couple of reasons, you know, the benefits of seeing every single product in somebody's line, the actual seeing the scale and everything else. That answered it in a broad way, and that's sort of what I was expecting. But when you just mentioned, you know, thinking of a particular client in mind, I would not have thought that the return on investment, the ROI, would be there if I was a designer and thinking, oh, I'm working on one particular or two particular projects, let me go to market and see what I could find. I would have thought that that's like, seriously, you don't need to do that. But you're saying that that really is another level of a benefit, that if you're working on some projects, you're going to maybe see pieces in real life that you wouldn't have seen or thought and you've gone by in a catalog.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Whether it's those sort of one of a kind or discoveries that you're making for that client, that maybe then pulls that project in a completely different way, you know, or a different direction. I also think that one of the benefits, and that this sort of speaks to that project thing, is it's all about in-person relationships. You know, it really delivers value for you, whether it's a specific project or whether it's, you know, season after season. There's something about face-to-face communication, looking somebody in the eye and talking about specifics. And one of my friends always says this, and I'm going to use her quote, Kristen Dorhan. She said, you'd be amazed at what manufacturers will do for you when you ask in person.
Okay, so you're talking about building the relationship with the vendors and having them have a face to the name and the account, as opposed to just one more account on their, you know, printout every single month of who ordered and who didn't. So that's actually a very good point, because I can see that too. For us, you know, you and I are window treatment colleagues here. We have the sales reps calling on us, you know, to show us fabrics and stuff. And I'm very, you know, if you're not a good rep, I'm not buying your fabric. I don't care how nice it is. I'm just not, because. You know, there's enough people out there that are working hard and that are, I know, have my back in a certain situation, you know, that might arise with a client. And they're the ones that I, you know, more patronize. And so what you're saying is that's the other way now. So you have the different big furniture companies or fabric houses or whatever. And if you take the time to go in and get to know them and let them put a face to your account, they will then just naturally, human nature, step up the customer service for you a little bit.
Right. And I think that's one of the misperceptions about market, specifically High Point, is that it's, you have to be a stocking dealer. You have to have minimums. There's high, you know, not only quantity, but dollar amounts. That is not true. There are a lot of designer friendly showrooms. And again, that face to face and opening those accounts and establishing your terms and conditions can go, can help you enormously in building your bottom line. There's just no ifs, ands, buts about it. I see it every day in the groups that we take where they're, you know, I'll give you a great example. We had two designers with us last market, and They became exclusive dealers for a furniture manufacturer, and they said that never would have happened if they had had that conversation just with the sales rep or via email or whatever. But sitting down with a national sales manager and the CEO of the company mm-hmm. made it happen.
And so when you say they made an exclusive deal, they meant in their territory, in their region.
Mm-hmm.
That's something. That's a coup, yeah. huh?
Right.
You know, because now you can say I'm the only person in this, you know, the Dallas, you know, area that has this line of furniture or lamps or whatever it may be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and so that you also said something in there that I just wanted to touch on, because I have not been to market in, I don't want to say how many years. I think it's the 80s since I was at last at market. And at that time, it really was a very much a place of, oh, yes, order 10 pieces and you can have an account. And you're saying that that is completely different. So people should not be intimidated. A single solopreneur out there that would love to just build some relationships and with some interesting vendors and so forth. Not it's just less and less of that now, where you can buy one off product as opposed to having to do minimums.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And that goes for yardage and fabrics. Furniture pieces, you know, accessories, it's cross categories.
Hmm. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought that it was mm-hmm. still the domain of the big guys, but everybody, this is what I would have thought. I would have thought, yes, you can go see and this and that and the other thing, but you know, you're going to need to wait to have a full project so you can order multiple pieces or whatever like that. So, you know, a big project, I mean to say.
Right.
Okay. So that's very cool. So now here's the thing. Here's what I think about when I think about going to market. And if I were to go again, it would be like going for the first time. Let's be serious, after 30 years. So so when I think about it, I wonder if other people think the things that go through my head, which is I hear how big it is. I can see how big it is from the pictures that I see, you know, not only in the website, but the Instagram feeds of all the various designers and the Facebook feeds of the designers. And I just think to myself, how the heck would I get started? Now, we know, because I've told everybody in the introduction, that you have created this business of, you know, the side business of yours of organizing tours that designers can go sign up and be handheld all the way through. And I love that. But what if I don't have the budget for that? Or what if I can't stay the amount of days that you're going and I'm intimidated? What if I'm thinking, I think I should go, but I don't know how to go. What do you say to us people like that?
Great question. My first thing is pre-show planning. It's just key. It's a lot of times I see people coming into market that, you know, made a last minute decision for whatever reason, and I get that, and I think we're all deadline driven mm-hmm. in this business, but it really means making a plan. If you don't go, no matter what market is or trade show is, if you go unprepared, it's just not going to be great. You have to have some objectives and some goals, you know, and it might be as simple as I want to find new accounts or I'm just going there for inspiration. But as long as you have that sort of framework, then you can start, you know, figuring out how you're going to do it. I would also, first thing I do is go to whatever market trade show website there is, you know, whether it's highpointmarket.org or Las Vegas or whatever it is, because you're going to see what companies are going to be there, what events and things are going on. You can kind of do a pros and cons. Oh, this sounds interesting, but I don't have an account. Do I want to spend my time here? Do I not want to spend my time here? And with that said, I want to say that a tip is do not discount visiting showrooms that you have accounts with. Uh-huh. A lot of times you're thinking you're only needing to go to the ones to open new accounts or to see new product, because not only are they launching new product, but again, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. You get to see that depth and breadth of their offerings. And it's different than in a pages of a catalog. It just is.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, and as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, that's a great answer. When you said get establish your objectives before and pre-plan. So I can visualize that now. I can, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, right. Go on the website, see what vendors are going to be there. Don't just walk in the door and say, oh, this aisle here, let me walk aimlessly down. It's like Costco, right? Don't you have to go up and down every, you walk in exactly. for, you know, I don't know, three sides of beef and you walk out with $900 worth of everything else. It's like, all right, let me just go down this aisle. Let me just go down this aisle. But High Point's just a little bit bigger than Costco. And so, and that's exactly what I would have done. I would have walked in and went, where should I go? So I love that tip. I love it. Go on the website first, scout around to the companies that you're already doing business with, find where they're located. Because I imagine, do they already have that up on the websites ahead of time, their location, so that you can know what building they're in? Or is that, you have to get that sort of map once you're there?
No, no, no. So they will show exhibitors by category, alphabetically, and by building.
And they already know, like now, like Kravit Inc. knows where they're going to be, for instance.
Right. Okay. Kravit has a permanent showroom in Market Square that's amazing.
Oh, so there's place people that have permanent ones, and then others have pop up for the for the week. Okay.
Right.
So yeah. Okay. So what we're saying is, go on the show planner, you know, the website. Identify at least a couple of places that you have accounts with that you could look to strengthen your personal relationship with them, and also see more of their products and maybe their launching products. But then pick, however many time allows, places that you might be interested in based on what you see on their individual websites for products availability, and then plan it out. Like Tuesday, I'm going here. Tuesday afternoon, I love this. See, because that's not just wandering around aimlessly wondering what to do. Because it's a lot of money to go to a show. It's not only the airfare and the accommodations and all of that wine, let's be serious. You know, it's all the money that you're not earning while you're not in your business.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like a good plan.
From that, then, what we would suggest, or I would suggest, is you create a hit list of those manufacturers and companies you want to see. And then, like you said, from that hit list, start scheduling. Now, a couple of tips. High Point related, because there are so many buildings and they're spread out.
Okay.
So the largest building is IHFC, and it's right when you get off the buses at the transportation center. There is on the first floor, there is a section called Interhall, and it's a vetted showroom area of new emerging manufacturers and exhibitors, very on trend. Don't miss it.
Oh, okay. So this is like, you know, we have to go to this one. Okay.
Absolutely. And so this is where you're going to do some trend spotting, and you're also going to be ahead of the curve in finding new discoveries and new accounts that your competitors don't.
Okay. Say the name of that, what that was called
it's,
again?
It's Interhall, and it's in IHFC, International Home Furnishing Center, which is like 16 floors, and it's a whole block. It's
huge.
And then the second area to me is a must see, not to be missed, is over in Market Square, and it is called Salon. And again, it's a vetted area of small emerging designers and exhibitors and manufacturers, and it's kind of a mix from accessories to furniture to gifts to lighting, but again, not to be missed. I always find great things there. So once you've got that sort of hit list together, then in scheduling those appointments, as you mentioned earlier, perfect point. Think about your budget before you get there. Like any show, this is the time where the infrastructure and the hotels and the restaurants and everybody, this is the time they make their money. So it's not a budget proposition, you know, it's not an inexpensive proposition to go. It just isn't.
No,
at the Holiday Inn Express and Motel 6 are a couple, almost $300 a night.
Whoa. Talk about making your dollar bills when it's busy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely think about, you know, how planning your travel, and then when you're on the website, the other thing I would do is spend a little time and download the shuttle map and familiarize yourself with the shuttle system. So the shuttle system runs every morning from the hotels to Market, and then there's a red line and a green line that runs in Market during the day from like 8 a.m. to like 9 p.m. at night. So to get around to the buildings, it's essential that you understand and know the shuttle system.
Because you're not driving your car around. If you happen to take a car to rent a car, that's not happening. The shuttle is the way to do it. It's the only way to do it.
Right.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now, I have heard of designers discuss house renting, that they go in, two, three, half a dozen people, and area people, like when you talk about making your money when the going is good, I've heard that area residents will literally move out of their house for the week and rent it to these throngs of incoming industry people. And what's your opinion on that? Do you think that that's like, well, if you know somebody maybe, or don't go that road, or any opinions there?
No, absolutely. In fact, Market has a concierge service that will match you with homeowners.
Oh, so because it's an organized thing.
Definitely. It is an organized thing. A lot of companies do it. They actually rent the larger homes in some of the plantations and take over. For example, Eastern Accents owns a home there, and that's when they bring in all their sales staff. So, I mean, it's sort of whatever your preference is. I have several design friends. There's a group of five women, and they've been doing it for, I think, about 6 or 8 years every Market. And it's like girls' weekend away, slumber party, and they love it.
Really? I'm more like, you know, laughing to myself ear to ear on the sub cottage industry that has built up around it. It's like, whoa.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it's actually organized to the point that, you know, that High Point's in on hooking up the homeowners and the people. It's like, yikes.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty interesting. Okay, so now we have, you know, looked into the website. We've decided which of our already accounts that we want to make some personal connections with. We've decided our dream accounts that we'd love to investigate and look into. We know that these two places that we have to go to, which are Interhall and Market Square. Now, I know that there's lots of presentations and panels and everything else, right? They're also on the website. And so you also sort of pre-look at those too and say, don't miss this one on Tuesday because you're just walking around in circles, right? So do you want to get those things organized as well?
Correct. And so that's sort of what I would do is definitely right away register for Market. It's free. There's no charge. But once you register and they sort of quote unquote know you're coming because you've RSVP'd, then you're going to get on the list for all the manufacturers, for all the parties, for all the presentations, all the information that's coming out in marketing and promotion. So you're really, you know, as it gets close to Market. And by the way, most of that happens about 30 days out. So you'll really get the meat of what's going to be happening at Market from about September 15th on.
Okay.
But registering gets you in the loop, so to speak.
Okay. So now you said the word party in there. So are there – because, look, it's a social thing too, right? And who
Absolutely.
Wants to go down and be the only one that's not at the prom? So are there – events that are just social that are put on by the different showrooms and the different manufacturers? And do you need an invite as an account, or do they just announce a meet and greet at, you know, so-and-so's, you know, showroom at 7 o'clock at night? How does that end of the game work for somebody who's never been there?
It's both. So I will tell you that Saturday and Sunday of Market are sort of the your dance card will be full. Parties and food basically start when the showroom opens. But from about 2 o'clock on is when the cocktail circuit starts, and you know, all the parties are starting, and typically they're, you know, new product launches and they want to introduce their designer or their new product collection or whatever. So whether you have an account or not, they'll just invite everyone. They'll typically ask you to RSVP, but I think that's just to get a head count. They're not checking you in at the door. More than several manufacturers also do private invitation only events. Some of it is off site, some of it is at their showroom. Some for example, at the for our tour, we actually have several private events that we do. So again, what you want to do is make a call to your sales rep and say, I'm coming to market. Will you keep me apprised of anything that might be going on with, you okay. and your in the showroom or whatever. A lot of times they'll take, for example, their better accounts and their VIP accounts, if you will, and they'll do hosted dinners and things like that. But trust me, you can walk any floor at any time from 4 o'clock on and there's a party.
Wow. Okay.
Or a mixer or, you know, associations are doing things. ASID is doing things, you know, Home Furnishings Association is doing something. Art is doing something. So it's great social networking time.
And the way to keep on the in loop of all of that is when you're registered, you're going to be told these. So for instance, do you, when you register further, say I want to be updated on events run by say ASID or this or that, or you just get all of them, period.
You get all of them.
Okay. So that's going to be a crazy like month for
be
your
prepared.
Inbox.
Right. Yeah. Be prepared. Yeah.
Okay.
And then again, don't, you know, let your reps know, send out an email to all your reps and say, I'm coming to market. Keep me apprised.
I like that idea a lot. It's smart. And I think it's something that people wouldn't have thought about because the reps do. They have a sort of entertaining budget and they probably are having people out to dinners and things like that. And that is where you really do solidify more of your relationships with these people. And I just want to just recap on something there is we said to organize your trip in the sense of what showrooms that you wanted to visit. But I'm hearing from you that it's probably, say there's three new, you know, furniture lines that I want to visit. Rather than just put it on my to-do list, I should send them an email and say I'm coming and maybe make an appointment to meet them, or that's just too overbearing. Just say I'm coming and you don't know me and I don't know you, but I want to see the line. How does that work?
Absolutely. Call and schedule appointments.
So they do make appointments. Okay.
Right, especially in the large manufacturing showrooms.
Okay.
Across categories. Most of their sales force is there during market. Most of the larger manufacturers in the showroom have a reception desk. And so my first tip would be just go right, make a beeline to the reception desk at a showroom where you haven't made an appointment. They'll ask you a little bit about, you know, who you are, where you're located or whether, so they can match you up with your sales rep or someone who's taking over the area for him if he's busy or whatever, because they are very busy. It's very much a buyer's market. They're writing orders. You're going to see people walking around with clipboards and, you know, checklists, buying things.
So then that's a good point there in there too then. Can I just cut you off
sure,
for a second?
Absolutely.
Because so what I'm thinking when you say that to me is I say, okay, so if I'm, you know, from, you know, Luann from New Jersey and I'm going down to High Point and I have always been interested in this particular vendor for whatever reason, but I don't necessarily expect to place an order. I want to introduce myself. I want to meet them. I want to see the line. I would think that I would make a better impression when I had my appointment, that I consciously kept it to a 10 or a 15 minute meet and greet, as opposed to monopolizing that sales rep's time for an hour when I have no intention of buying. And I think like that because I'm a salesperson. Is that valid? Or you're like, Luann, do what the heck you want when you're down there.
Yeah, I don't want you to limit yourself, because what happens a lot of times is you're going to get into somebody and think, you know, you had no intention of buying. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, this line is exactly what I need. Or I have a project coming up and I need to, you know, get the details in order, shipping, you know, discounts, freight, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so just take it as it is.
But they would appreciate that. They're going to ask you right off if you're, you know, do you have an account? Would you like to open an account? Now, a tip for that, if you're going down to market and you haven't been before, and I think this holds true, by the way, for any market you're going to, is I would suggest you put together what I call a one sheet. So basically, it has all the information that manufacturer needs to open an account. Company information, your banking information, if you're going to need that, what kind of terms do you want, your three industry references and their contacts and their phone numbers and your account numbers there, and then staple a business card on it. So when you get to that point where you're saying, you know, I really do want to open an account, you can pull that one sheet out everything's there. They can do that at will while you're standing there later on or whatever. That's going to save you time and it's going to save their time. It will be so appreciated by the vendor.
Hmm. And the only thing that crosses my mind with that is that, you know, maybe you just put the line for your banking account information, but fill it in when you hand it to them,
as
opposed to everything like being there and you drop it.
Right.
And then somebody walks into the next vendor and uses your information.
Right. Or maybe don't use it, but have it handy on your phone or something. If they ask for it, you can then give it. But again, as you can see, it's like, then you're not filling out an app every time you got to go.
Right.
You're just
and
like,
you're not calling your office. And what's our ST3 number? And
right. Have all that handy, or they'll say to you, what's your UPS or FedEx account number or whatever? And you're like, just a minute, I got to call my assistant.
Exactly. But, I think it. I like that idea. I like it a lot. It does, you know, make it just so that you can be spending more time looking and finding about the product and getting to know the sales rep as opposed to sitting around, you know, in the corner filling out your homework. So I like that.
And another thing you mentioned, just to kind of circle back, is like, so there are all these sort of parties and things going on. My suggestion is that, let's say you mentioned Kravitz. So let's say Kravitz having a party and you want to go to Kravitz and you're like, oh, Kravitz having a party. You know what? I'll just schedule my appointment at 4 o'clock when the party starts, because it's two birds with one stone kind of thing. No. Schedule your appointment separately and then come back and, you know, build those relationships, network, do all that good stuff.
Okay. Because at the different parties that they're having, you know, it's also an opportunity to not only meet all of the management staff and the from the company, but you're also really at a place where you're meeting a lot of your colleagues and your peers as well, is what you're saying.
That is the, to me, that is the priceless part of market.
Okay.
The unequaled networking. And even if you're meeting, I have made lifelong friends that I didn't know before. Some of them standing next to me at the concert, you know, kind of thing, that have not only the friendships, but the amount of information that's exchanged about business, about business models. This is also where, you know, they're your eyes and ears. It's always a great question is like, what's your favorite thing you've seen today? Or what's got you really excited about market? What line or what have you, and that they're going to tell you about some new line, or they're going to tell you about, let's say, a manufacturer that is kind of been run of the mill and all of a sudden brought in a new creative director and has just blown it all up. And there's always one every market, and you've got to find out who that is, because everybody wants to keep that secret. But you know, again, it's invaluable.
Yeah.
It is invaluable.
It sounds exciting. I can relate to it. I was just at the podcast convention in Chicago 2 weeks ago, and I met a fellow podcaster from Israel, and we have already spoken two times by Skype, and we've agreed that we're going to speak every 2 weeks. And I know I've met a friend for life. I absolutely have. And we're just constantly, you know, exchanging, you know, tips and information. And so, yes, those sort of relationships are valuable as well. And that environment is what is conducive to that. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having fun, and you know, everybody's in a spirited sharing mood, I would think, right? Because you're all just jazzed up, like you're learning all new stuff and meeting, and of course, you know, you're just in the middle of such a beautiful environment with one piece of eye candy after another, right?
Absolutely. And then you know what, and it's you know, both of us designers, we can relate to this, is, you know, when you're in groups or lead retrieval groups that are local, and you have, you know, some of your competitors there, you know, it's difficult to share information for a variety of reasons. That kind of also goes out the door, right? You're meeting somebody from San Francisco. She's more than willing to share with you, you know, her business model and how she does things and contracts and, you know, how she charges an hour and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, you're in New Jersey and hey, you know, why not? Let me tell you about it. So that kind of information, like I said, that's those sort of sidebar conversations are amazing.
Yeah, it's true. There's always a wealth of information to be learned from somebody who's, you know, a year or two ahead of you on the road, or even, you know, look, mm-hmm. at this point, and I don't know, I'm sure you're the same way, but at this point, you know, yes, when I go to window treatment conferences or different, you know, things that the industry has, yeah, okay, so I'm, you know, teaching people and, you know, kind of helping them about, oh, don't worry about that and think about this. But then I'm also, wait, that app does that? You know, wait, they have things that do this for us?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So it's the learning goes both ways, you know?
Absolutely. So I learn something every,
you know, the new ones teach the old ones, right? So that's great. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break so I can tell everybody about Kravit Inc. And then we'll be right back to talk about I want to talk a little bit about how you organize your trips in case somebody is interested, and we'll find out if it's booked. I'm not even sure yet. And also, you also do markets internationally. You are very educated on that. So we'll take a little bit to talk about that. So hang on 1 second. Our sponsor for today's episode is Kravit Inc., featuring CuratedKravit.com. CuratedKravit.com is a trade-only resource for all of your interior design needs, from furniture to accessories. Their platform is so comprehensive, offering the finest in furniture, floor covering, lighting, wall decor, bedding, and much more. Fabulous products that you won't find every day. With CuratedKravit.com, your business just got easier. The process is so simple and the results are unbeatable. Just design, click, and your items will be delivered right to you. You can also browse the many beautiful room designs which have been curated for you by esteemed interior designers such as Nate Berkus, Jonathan Adler, and Alexa Hampton, to name only a few. I use CuratedKravit.com for my clients, and I love the results. Remember, design, click, delivered with CuratedKravit.com by Kravit Inc. Okay, Deb, so first tell me a little bit about when I just realized it's probably going to repeat, because I was going to say, tell us a little bit about how you organize when you take a group to High Point. So honestly, I'm sure you, most of it is what you just said. You probably just, you know, do it with your groups. But are there anything that when you organize your groups and somebody joins, a designer joins to go with you down to High Point, are there things that you're going to do that we didn't discuss in the tips to not to be missed? In things?
Great question. Well, besides all the private events and this, we do all the scheduling and all those kinds of things. We do a pre-trip webinar where we kind of expose you to all that market has, the logistics, the what to pack, where we're at, you know, where the hotel is, all the amenities, all that kind of stuff. We are sort of your concierge and on site and pre-site, in that we, you know, we're getting you to market, we're getting you transferred from the airport back to the airport to the hotel. We have dedicated vans, all that kind of stuff. So again, you probably don't have to necessarily worry much about the shuttle system, though we do teach it to you. But probably most importantly, I think, is that we have a one-on-one consult with every tour member. And we ask them, what are your top three goals or objectives? What are you trying to get out of this market? And then kind of delve into, who are your manufacturers? What are you looking at? Are you thinking about changing your model? Are you looking to get into a new niche? Are you looking for revenue streams? And then we act as your liaison in putting you, basically matchmaking you with what we think some of the vendors are that you need to see.
Oh, well, that's
so
valuable.
You know,
right,
you
there.
Can look at a list and you can read about these people and this can be interesting, but maybe they aren't your fit. And when you get down there, you're kind of like spinning your wheels a little bit. We kind of take some of that out of it.
I like that. I like that a lot. And then do you, once you have that information all gathered from the, you take 20 people down, that's your maximum that you take down, I think I read?
Correct. Yes.
So once you have your 20 people, all of their information gathered from that pre-interview, pre-trip interview, do you then do you then organize the stops and the showrooms that you'll see based on the commonalities expressed from the 20 people, or do you have your set thing that you do, but then you side set people up with like, look, we're going to be here today, or we're going to be on a break for 3 hours, but you should be meeting this guy, set this appointment up?
The latter. So we have a tour itinerary, and it does change from market to market because manufacturers change from market to market and that whole aspect. But we sort of build it where you're with us on the tour, and there's a lot of stops Saturday and Sunday. And then we start sort of weaning you off and giving you more and more free time Sunday afternoon through Tuesday. And during that free time, that's when we will make appointments for you and with some of the vendors that we feel work to your goals and to your objectives. That also gives you time to go back. For example, let's say you were on a stop with us in a showroom and we were moving on to another showroom, that you can then go back and circle back and, you know, place an order, for example.
Interesting. That's very well thought out. I like that. And it's almost like having like, it's like almost like when you were a kid and you went on a trip with your mom and all you have to do is show up. And, you know, your mom's like, OK, get in the van, go here. Now it's time to eat. Go to this place. Well, so you can just relax and enjoy the process and the experience, knowing that the bigger details, the nudgy things of how to get here from there and the airport and the hotel has all sort of been just taken care of.
Absolutely. That's the whole idea, is we're your concierge. We take care of all of that stuff. You just have to show up and concentrate on the show and having a good time.
What a great little thing you decided to do there. That's pretty smart.
Who knew I was going to be an event and travel planner?
Let's see, window treatment designer, event planner.
That happened.
I love it, though. I love it a lot. So now give us about 10 minutes, because I know that you are also, you do the same thing for Paris. You do organized trips for the international shows. And so talk a little bit about why anybody would suggest to a designer, in the States here, to think about expanding their roster to include some of the international shows.
Absolutely. Okay. In a nutshell, first, I will say that the European shows have a completely different flavor and feel to them. Just from an inspirational standpoint, it's 180. So, for example, there's no pipe and drape. And there are aisles, but we're talking huge booths, hard walls, amazing vignettes. There is a level of respect for design that we don't typically see in the United States. I'm just going to be honest.
Wow.
There's no, mints in a bowl, a drape table, and an uninterested sales guy that's standing there, which when you're walking down the aisle, you're going, human nature is like, oh, I don't want to stop there. It looks interesting, but
intimidation.
That intimidation.
Yeah,
kind
it's like
of
he's
thing,
not
right?
smiling at me. I don't know if I should go there.
I know. And I will say, everyone says, well, but we're talking about a different language. If we're in France or Italy or whatever it is, but they speak English, or there's somebody in the booth that does speak English.
Right.
So that's never been an issue with us. So I think probably a couple other reasons that I'd like to touch on about why to sort of, think about global markets is that not only the whole depth and breadth of latest product, launches, which are pretty amazing, but it's about trend spotting. And I know that that's sort of an buzzword in our industry, but it does keep you ahead of the curve. And I'll give you an example is that a year and a half, 2 years ago, when we were traveling the markets and the shows, we started to see tufted upholstery waning, and we saw it being replaced with a lot of tuck and roll looks and channels and diamonds. We saw that at market last in spring. So 2 years ago, we kind of spotted what was going to happen, what was going to be the next way upholstered furniture was moving, for example. That just from being able to impart that information to my clients, especially if they're in, you know, buying and purchasing investment pieces in a project, to just having it on my radar screen is invaluable to any business person in any industry. And then for me, I think that designers are storytellers. So it's about learning that sort of design narrative and the backstory. So it's not just about seeing the product, but it's the inspiration and the story behind it. Maybe it's the designer. Maybe it's the people who crafted it. Maybe it's the brand that's introducing it. So I think that that's really important and on a global scale. And, you know, of course, building your, you know, bottom line, whether you go or not, it's domestically or internationally, it is tax deductible.
Okay.
No. And the other thing is that I find really interesting about global shows versus domestic shows is there's a lot of cross-industry pollination. So, for example, in Milan, Mercedes-Benz has a huge presence, for example. And I think what that sort of relates to is the fact that you know, every day we've got new competitors coming into our marketplace. And, you know, technology is certainly, you know, creating new distribution and sales channels. And I love the fact that you talk about, you know, niching down all the time.
Right.
Because, you know, not only is the customer changing the way that they purchase and view design products and services, but we need to know what's happening out there in the world. We need it on our radar. And so I frankly, those competitors that are coming into our marketplace are shopping these markets. So I just feel that it's a necessity to at least once or twice do that, you know, to say that, oh, I don't sell that category, or, you know, that looks not what my customer wants, to me is a bit short-sighted.
So I have a question in there is, I just wonder, why is it? Is it just known that the trends start in Europe? Why is it that like it happens there first? Why isn't it happen at High Point and then they chase what we do? I don't get that.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think there's a couple of reasons, personal opinion, if you will.
Okay.
One of them is that it's supported by governments. You know, whether it's the Dutch, the English, the French, the Italians, they support the design industry. And, you know, there are some amazing university programs over there for product designers, emerging designers. There's lots of competitions. There's just a different way of viewing design. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first went to Milan 10 years ago, I was struck by the fact that there were all these Italians walking the show and walking the offsite events with their kids in strollers. So they're like going, you know, their kid is like five and meeting Philippe Starck. You know, so it's like it's in their DNA, right?
Right, right.
It's just like they're, it's just a different feel for it. So just to experience that and see that, I think is pretty phenomenal. And I've been blessed to be able to do that. I also think that it's, you know, obviously design and, you know, the trend curve has started, you know, with the class system and all that. I mean, they've been doing it just longer than we have in the U.S., you know,
right.
For
well,
centuries,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, I can see that. It just, you know, we're 200 and some years old and they're, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So. Okay. So, and the other thing about the international markets, I'm trying to search my brain. It might have been Stacy Garcia, and I'm not quite sure, but I recall somebody that I spoke to in the last several months that just one little sentence is coming to mind. They expressed that when they were at the international market, it was a market in, I think it was either Italy or France, and they were expressed how in the booth, for lack of a better word, but in the space in the market, two or three times trying to talk about the business, and they were like, and she, I think it was Stacy, was like, we, you know, basically it was like, okay, we're not going to talk the business here. Like, it's almost, it's like the cultural things are different, right? So do you need to be aware of any of that as an independent designer going in? Now, if it was Stacy that related this story, then of course she's a manufacturer, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. But are there cultural things other than what you described as that the way they present the show and everything else? But do we have to think, like you said, make appointments to High Point? Do you make appointments if you're going to go to Paris to a show, or is that not the protocol?
No, that definitely is the protocol. It is a buyer's show. Typically, it's not. Sometimes it's done out in the stands, like it would be, or in the booths, in the show, like showrooms at High Point. But usually, they have offices in the back of their booth, and that's where they conduct business. And so, again, it would, you know. There are cultural ways of doing business and how and etiquette, et cetera. You know, if you're working, for example, with the Asians, there are certain things that, you know, should be aware of and how to greet, meet and greet and those kinds of things. But that's easy. You know, Google
it.
You know,
right.
Google business etiquette for whatever, and
right.
it all kinds of comes up. If you're going for inspiration and just kind of that, you know, to see the flavor and all of that, it's probably, you know, you don't necessarily need to make appointments, but if you're wanting to do business. So one of the shows that I regularly attend is Heim Textil in Frankfurt, Germany. Mm. And it's in January. It sort of kicks off the first round of shows in Europe every January. And it's the largest textile show in the world. And I am an unabated fabricolic textile aficionado. So what you will see a lot of working in the booths, for example, there's a whole floor of the Turkish fabric and textile industry, and they just have big, huge tables and just yards and yards of fabrics all on wings. And then they're pulling them out and they're showing you your new line and they're telling you how much it is a meter and you're writing orders,
wow.
You know, sample orders or whatever. But typically a lot of the real business is done behind, sort of, you know, off on a corner,
right?
Kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's with Heim Textil, just to kind of give you the scope of it and talking about different feelings. So there are 12 buildings. They typically fill 9. It takes 50 miles to walk the show.
Whoa.
One whole building is just a trend presentation. So there's like one building for, wallpaper. There's one building for window coverings. There's one building for sheets and bedding. It's,
wow.
It's pretty crazy. It's amazing.
That's really interesting. So what you're saying, and when they say the whole building is for trend presentation, so it's similar to what you mentioned a few moments ago. So if you're there, you know, this January, you're going to see, like, what, remember 3 years ago, everything was in fabric was lattice and, you know,
uh-huh.
right. So you would see that there, you know, a year or two before we're seeing it here. And so when it hits and finally it's available, you're like the first person to jump on it because you know it's going to be the next big thing or something.
Absolutely.
I mean, and if that's the type of design you're looking to do for a particular project.
Right.
Obviously there's always projects where we keep things classic, right?
But that's definitely a difference between the two. And to kind of circle back on that, I didn't mention it before. So it's a formalized trend presentation and forecast from the European shows. And I can't think of anybody in the US that does that domestically. There's the style spotters and there, you know, there's this person giving a seminar on this trend or that trend. But the way that the trend structure is in the European shows is they have a trend table. And it's made up of trend forecasters from across the globe. For example, in Heim Textil, Mark Woodman, you might know him from the U.S., is a color expert. He happens to be on Heim Textil's trend table, as does WGSN.
Mm.
And so they meet throughout the year. And everybody brings what they think is going to happen as a trend forecast to the table, and they brainstorm and they come out with one universal trend. And usually there's one overriding trend for Maison in September. It is called House of Games. And it's all about play and experience. And then there's several sub trends from it. And then the trend table actually puts together a trend presentation. As I said, it's huge, that is a visual representation and interpretation of where they think the forecast is going, from color to materials to texture to emotion and feel. And it's populated with sampling from the exhibitors within the show, and then all those samples are marked. So if I follow, I'm looking at trend XYZ and I see a sample, it's marked with the manufacturer's name, the booth, the building, and everything. So it's much more of a formal forecast.
Interesting. It's very interesting. And I don't remember the group that Stacy Garcia is on, but when you said that, I remember she is on some, you know, international trend group like that.
Oh, fabulous. I believe it. Yeah. And so that's one of the differences. And the other thing is don't, you know, don't dissuade the global from a domestic perspective, I guess, is what I say, is that every major domestic retailer and many of the manufacturers shop these shows. I'm talking Target, ABC Home, Restoration Hardware, Crate and Barrel. I routinely run into those buyers. They are shopping those shows and bringing them home. And an example, you remember the whole Belgium look that Restoration Hardware popularized,
right,
what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Right.
That basically came out of one Spanish manufacturer's line. He was showing in the back of Hall 5B at Maison. And I cannot confirm this, but I am almost sure that basically the CEO of RH bought the line, the best of the line, and took it to Asia and replicated it, and because it showed up 8 months later.
Wow.
And everyone's like, oh my God, this is a fabulous line for Restoration. We saw the manufacturer. I mean, down to the factory table with the wheels on it and the whole bit.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It is. You know what? It's interesting because I can see, you know, like we discussed, you know, High Point as a very nuts and bolts experience and a very nuts and bolts positive you know, aspect that it could have to your firm. And this, while those things are obviously would still be in place, but this is more big picture, more inspiration, more dreaming, more just deepening your expertise and knowledge as an interior designer, I would think.
Absolutely.
Right? Because, you know, now you're making a presentation to your client and you're dropping in that I saw this at, you know, this market or that market. And, you know, you give, like you said, the backstory. I can visualize that. I can visualize it really actually enhancing you as a business person and a designer to have that level of experience. It's only a word I can just think of under your belt. Yeah, very interesting.
And there's some nuts and bolts. If you're a lighting designer or you're selling lighting, it definitely the European shows are for you. The type of lighting is amazing, and they understand what has to be done to wire it electrically for the U.S. They do it all the time. We've had lots of designers that have gone with us, and we're purchasing, for example, from distributors in the U.S. and found the actual manufacturer and opened accounts with them. So, you know, kind of cut out the middleman. But if you were to, you know, have to choose a couple of shows, if I might, my suggestion would be Maison and Objet, and it's held twice a year. January is their textile focus, and September is more outdoor and furniture focus and light and lighting and contemporary design all the time.
Okay.
Decorex in September. It's in the UK in London. It's London Design Week. There's lots of offsite events. It's amazing. It's amazing. If I was to have to say, if I had to do one once in my lifetime, it would be Milan. Milan is very different from most of the shows, is that it's very exhibition orientated, very innovative, focus on emerging designers. And as you said, big picture, that top level, where are we going? You know, where 5 years from now, what's the home going to look like in a very conceptual way? And so that's where, and there's a lot of off-site places. They basically take over the warehouse district in Milan and build these fantastical exhibitions, and you know, the Tom Dixons and the Patricia Yokoya and the Philippe Starks of the world are, you know, kind of like you know, exercising their design chops.
Wow.
It's so amazing.
Interesting, actually.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So now, before you go, would there be one or two in addition to High Point in the U.S.? You made me think that that would be worthwhile going to, that people should put it on their wish list for 2016 and 2017?
Absolutely. If you do kitchens and bath, you got to see KBIS.
Okay, right. Okay.
Definitely KBIS. A new show that's coming to North America that might solve some of that sort of international versus domestic is Maison and Objet Miami.
Oh.
It's somewhat geared to the South American market, but they're bringing the European sort of the best over. It's a very small show, but very interesting. It's certainly on the high end, dramatic, luxe kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. A New York Design Week.
Right. Okay.
I think is a definite one that I would put on domestically on my radar, and one that's not in our industry. But if you just happen to be there and you're a Vegas person, that's kind of like, you know, I'm going to do a business trip and spend two more nights in Vegas. It would be Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, lots of home furnishings manufacturers are moving into that market. Because of what's happening with technology.
Because it's all being integrated. All the different things are working and talking to each other.
Yeah. So, for example, Stearns & Foster and Serta are showing at Consumer Electronics Show. Who would have thought, right?
Right.
So that's where you get to see some of the, if you're a techie, gadgety kind of person, or that's where your business model is, it's definitely worth seeing, you know, the 3D printers, the virtual reality kind of scenarios, because I don't know if you know, but Wayfair has introduced a new VR app, which is going to allow their customers to put a VR mask on and place their furniture offerings and accessories and textile offerings into the customer's own home by wearing the mask. I know.
Wait, so it's no longer, I mean, we've had for years in the window treatment industry where you could upload a picture of your window into your computer and then plop a window treatment on it. So you're saying, no, you put it like a 3D goggle thing on your face and you can see the furniture in your room?
Yes. Exactly. And it allows you to move the furniture around in real time. So think of it sort of like if you have kids that are gamers that are, you know, playing, you know, simulated kind of virtual worlds and things.
Yeah.
It's just like that. So I actually wore one and did one at market in the spring with Wayfair. And so they had this patio and they had grills and outdoor furniture and chimeneas and all this other stuff. And it was just like Fisher Price little people. And you put this mask on and all of a sudden it looked like this outdoor patio space. And as you move the pieces around, it moved it around. So like she can bring a sofa in and say, oh, I want it under the window. No, it doesn't fit there. Let's move it over next to the fireplace. And you can see if it's going to work in your space.
That's bizarre.
Well, just to keep in mind that Zuckerberg, Facebook wants the virtual reality mask to be just like the cell phone. Everybody will have one within 3 years.
What will the rest of us need it for?
I know, but I mean, to me, big picture, it's just like so interesting because like, how are we going to sell now?
I know. That's what I'm sitting there thinking. If everybody could, well, of course, there's people still don't have taste. I mean, you can't account for taste just because you know if the sofa fits.
But, you know, if you're selling to somebody under 35 and they're saying, oh, yeah, well, I put the mask on last night and I put the virtual reality and you're like, huh? Like, wait a minute, I'm not lugging sample books in at a shopping home event, a visit, you know?
Deb, that was a Scooby-Doo, huh? What? Oh, my God. That's amazing. You're just flipping me out now. That's crazy. That's obviously a whole nother show, right?
Say, we'll have to talk about that.
Ay, ay, ay. Oh, wow. I have to tell you, we didn't even get to really discuss that you also do coaching and webinars and things like that. But tell everybody how they can reach you, because here are the different things that they can access through you. They can go with you to the different markets, to High Point. They can go with you to the international markets. You go to France with groups of people. And then you also, on your website, I know that you have other services that you offer designers. So just tell us how we reach you, and then I'll definitely encourage them to go find your other services there.
Sure, absolutely. Quickest, easiest way is visit my website, which is debbarrett.com, and or email me at deb@debbarrett.com.
And it's two T's. I want everybody to know that, right?
And two R's. I'm sorry. Yes.
Oh, two R's and two T's. Exactly. Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm, you know, if you have a question or whatever, you know, email me. I'm always open to that. I'm about paying it forward.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's very nice of you. So if anybody's out there and they're maybe not necessarily, you know, going to necessarily engage or something like that, but if they have a question, you're generous and open to having that. That's very nice. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, Deb, I'm going to tell you what, you certainly gave us a ton of information about High Point, and I'm so happy that this show is going to be put up timely so that people are out there and they're considering it. Maybe we nudge them to go, or if they are already going, we'll make a more productive trip for them, having heard all the tips with you that you shared with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks. So did Deb deliver what I said she would, or what? I thought you might be out there wondering, should I go to High Point? It's a lot of time and money. Is it worth it? And I've never wondered myself if I would enjoy it or if it would I'd have a blast with all my friends. But I have, too, sometimes wondered about the true value of going. And Deb sure convinced me. My vote is definitely yes. If you can afford the time and expense, it does seem to me to be a good investment. But only if you go and you run your trip according to Deb's advice. Establish your goal for going. Do you need a new furniture line or accessory line? Do you need to meet the companies that you already do business with? Deb said, create your hit list, organize your time, contact the vendors, set your appointments, and then when it's time to relax and have some wine with your colleagues, you'll know you've done all the business side of making the trip a complete success. And you know, something happened after the interview. When we were off air, Deb said to me, you know, I didn't want to point something out because I didn't want to be, you know, plugging my own business or appear to be aggrandizing. But I need to tell you what she shared with me. Deb's tour, which she runs with Jackie Von Tobel, is $1,725 for 5 nights at the Sheraton Four Seasons. Are you kidding me? Remember, she said the lower end motels charge up to $300 per night. Right there, you're done. You've got your value. And then with her tours, she gives you the hotel transfers, the transfers in the van back and forth to the show itself. Most meals are included, exclusive meet and greets with vendors, the pre-show brainstorming that she does with each of her tour participants. And you know what else I liked? The tours are basically dedicated to newbies. That's right. You can't go on our tour if you've been to High Point in the last 3 years. So you don't have to worry if you're new and you're doing this and thinking about the tour because you are new. And then what if you get there and everybody's been there 100 times and now you're back to feeling crazy and silly again, right? So here's the thing. You know that I normally do not promote a guest's product or service so explicitly, but I really just feel that this was important to know this other information. She has spots left. Well, I mean, at least she did until I just told the entire world that they were left. But all the details with all the links will be there in our show notes, along with the free PDF of the things I learned from Deb Barrett. So head over to www.windowworks-nj.com/Deb Barrett. And I don't think I need to say this to you because I truly believe you all know me well enough by now, but I'll say it out loud anyway. I'm not getting anything from this endorsement. I really do just believe that if you in the past have hesitated to go because it was a daunting thing to even consider, that this might be the way to do it your first time. Thanks so much for listening. Please go to iTunes, rate and review the show. I can't tell you how much that helps me do what I do here. Follow us at Facebook at www.facebook.com/windowworksnj, and on Instagram it's www.instagram.com/windowworks. Thanks so much. Have a great day. My great thanks to the sponsor of our podcast, Kravit Inc., featuring CuratedKravit.com. CuratedKravit.com is your go-to resource for the finest in lighting, bedding, pillows, rugs, and so much more. Do yourself a favor and visit CuratedKravit.com today to see what I'm talking about. And when you're there, be sure to get on the Kravit Inc. email list so that you get all the latest news about all the newest pieces, which are constantly being added for you to use on your interior design projects. You can also see the gorgeous inspiration rooms curated by leading interior designers. And once you try it, wait until you experience the simplicity of the ordering process. Design, click, delivered. It really is that easy. I know you'll be as big a fan as I am. See it for yourself at CuratedKravit.com. Thank you for joining me again today for another episode of A Well-Designed Business. This podcast is a production of Window Works in Livingston, New Jersey, your trade resource for custom window treatments and awnings. Learn more about Window Works at www.windowworks-nj.com. All of our music is original music by Room 2 Productions. Please contact us if you want to learn more about original music for your business or your events.